Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop us your texts, your voicemails, doing mailbag tomorrow, so we'd love to hear from you. 331-979-1369, or again, you can tweet at us at Locked On Bulls. Matt, welcome back. I know this is weird, but this is more often than not. You and I together again for the first time in a couple of weeks. People may have been hearing us bouncing around doing solo episodes, but it's nice to be back. But unfortunately, the last time we spoke, this team was not off to the type of start they are. But before we get into all of that, how you doing?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Really glad to be back on the mics with you, man. And yeah, I wish it were under rosier circumstances.
I'm garbage.
Bulls facing a gauntlet of a task tonight, playing LeBron, AD, and the Lakers, who I'm sure, despite most Bulls fans' wishes and most wishes of anyone not in LA, look pretty freaking good through their 5-1 start. And seeing as how the Bulls got blown out at home to the only decent team they've played so far, that being the Toronto Raptors, I don't feel confident in any way that the Bulls can get a win tonight, let alone make it a respectable final outcome.
Agreed. I saw a tweet, too, from somebody earlier this morning that said, the only other duo to start the season averaging 25 points or more is Shaq and Kobe for the Lakers, and now it's LeBron and AD at this point. So the Bulls are going to have their hands full tonight. Let's just put it that way.
I thought you were going to say Shaq and Kobe, like Shaq Harrison and Kobe White, but I guess not. You mean the other Shaq and Kobe.
Oh, my God. That's the RC Cola version of Shaq and Kobe. That's the one that we have.
Hey, man, don't knock RC Cola. I love that stuff.
But the Lakers come to town. Interesting that the Bulls are going to have their hands full tonight. Like, and if Otto Porter isn't 100% healthy, in which we can talk about that a little bit, this is going to be even more difficult of a game. I'm very interested to see how Jim Boylan uses his bizarre rotations tonight, how he's going to be able to combat Anthony Davis and LeBron James at the same time. Remember last year, it was really this year, a few months ago, LeBron was throwing down hammer dunks in March against this Bulls team, and I get we've got a little bit better talent, but still, I am hoping that the Bulls don't get blown out by 30 tonight, but I think that could be a real possibility.
I mean, Lakers will be without Avery Bradley and Rajon Rondo, but I don't really think that will matter all that much when you think about the fact that the Bulls lost to a Pacers team on Sunday that was missing more important pieces than the Lakers' pieces of Bradley and Rondo. The Bulls lost to the Pacers without Oladipo, without Miles Turner, and without Sabonis. So, and I mean, I even think that LeBron and AD might look at this game tonight and be like, KCP can lead us to victory in this one. Like, we're going to take the night off. So we might see LeBron and AD just dominate for two quarters and then basically just sit out the second half because the Lakers don't need them. I hope I'm wrong, but that basically is what I'm expecting to happen tonight. And, I mean, heck, how many rebounds do you think Anthony Davis is getting tonight? 45? This Bulls team that cannot get a rebound to save their freaking lives. I'm expecting more bad news in that category tonight, too.
100%. Yeah, him and LeBron are probably going to combine for 45 rebounds tonight, at least. You know, it's unbelievable, and the struggles the Bulls have had early on in this season, just rebounding the ball, especially on the defensive side, is pathetic. I feel bad for Wendell Carter Jr. He's the only dude going up there getting boards, but we can talk about that in a minute. I wanted to say one other thing, too, just because you brought up the Pacers game real quick. You know, it's a fucking embarrassment that you just got dropped by 13 on the road to Indiana when the three best players on that team did not play. You know, Oladipo, Sabonis, and Turner all did not play in that game. And they had Jakar Sampson starting, and you lost by 13 to that team. Like, if there is any eye-opener to start this season, it should be that for this Bulls team. You got your ass handed to you on the road to a team starting Jakar Sampson, a dude who was in the G League, on your G League team last year.
How dare you disrespect Bulls legend Jakar Sampson?
Antonio Blakeney with more length is what Jakar Sampson is.
Oh, man. You mean Chinese legend Antonio Blakeney?
Blakeney with five to shoot. Blakeney races in. Shot on.
Take long for him to get the cookie.
But
balling in the CBA.
I do have to say, I have to give us a little bit of credit. Seems like a lot of people were very surprised with Goga Batazde as his first start on Sunday and looked pretty decent. If everybody can backtrack their minds a couple of months back to when we did our Locked On mock draft before the 2019 NBA draft, Matt and I decided to make a couple of trades, and we ended up taking Goga Batazde as one of our picks in the 20s. So kudos to us.
Yeah.
He looked really good, though.
And people are talking, you know, about the Pacers getting a steal, and they took him where? Like 18th, right?
Right.
Or no, is it further than that?
No, I think that's right. 18 or 20. It was right around there.
Yeah, right around there. So, yeah, but I mean, still, the main story, the main headline is that, okay, cool. You know, Batazde looks like a fun prospect and a guy that maybe some people slept on in the draft, but the Bulls should not have lost that game to Indiana. I mean, my God.
It's unbelievable. So, tonight, before we get into Boylan's comments from practice, and I also too want to talk a little bit about Chandler Hutchison and his hopeful return tonight. Maybe we'll see him as well as some of the injuries going on with this team. And then I want to have a discussion too with you about Lauri Markkanen, because I think this weekend has been very interesting with him and Boylan getting pressed about him as well. But first, anything else from this Lakers Bulls game? Like, what's the keys to tonight so the Bulls don't get their heads bashed in and this doesn't become a no contest by halftime?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing I'm looking for is whether or not Boylan backs up some of the other comments he made recently about changing things up on defense, because this Bulls team continues to get hammered through their first seven games when Boylan has two guys blitzing that pick and roll, and then the subsequent rotations go absolutely haywire and their opponents are getting all these open looks from corner threes. They're getting all these, you know, open 4-on-3 and 3-on-2 looks from the guy who's rolling and gets the ball in the paint with nobody in front of him. The help defense doesn't come. So we heard Boylan talk about the possibility of using some zone defense, maybe, you know, trying to offset the straight line drives that teams have been getting against them. And, you know, I don't know, maybe also use a little bit of drop coverage, because he seems to insist on Cornette being more deserving of a spot in this rotation than Daniel Gafford, despite getting destroyed on the boards. And Cornette, when he has been asked to go out and blitz in those pick and roll situations, is getting cooked. But when he was playing with the Knicks last season and they used him in drop coverage, he actually looked like a competent rim protector. But that's not what we're seeing right now. So if Boylan is insistent on keeping the rotation the way it is, at least change the scheme. And we're hoping that, and hearing that, maybe, finally, we're going to see that tonight. And, I mean, it's going to be a tough test against this LeBron AD duo.
Why do you think it is that he continues to go to Cornette the way he does? Like, I get he can knock down a three here and there, but the dude can't play a lick of defense. Like, he gets absolutely torched, and watching him and Markkanen out there in stretches is awful to start this season. You know, we saw that in preseason a little bit, and we're like, hey, you know what? Actually, this pairing might not be that bad. But when we get into the regular season and we're actually playing dudes that can rebound, those two guys can't grab a rebound to save their life. And if Markkanen doesn't have any type of compliment out there to go up and grab boards, he's not getting any rebounds. So I don't understand from Jim Boylan's perspective why Cornette has been getting so much playing time. And maybe it's just because the Bulls don't have any depth at the wing. So it's not like you can take Otto Porter and move him from the 3 to the 4, which we've seen a little bit of. And they've leaned a little bit more on Thaddeus Young than anybody else. But still, I don't know if it's Jim Boylan doesn't trust Daniel Gafford right now, or if Daniel Gafford's really, like, the things that we're not seeing is really worse off right now than Cornette is. But it's hard to say that anybody can be worse on defense than Cornette has been.
Well, look, and I think, the hashtag free Daniel Gafford outcry from Bulls fans, and I don't blame them, is a little inflated and a little exaggerated.
We do like his upside.
Because I don't think that, you know, putting a second round rookie draft pick into the back of the rotation is going to save all that ails this team right now. I think that there are more problems that need to be addressed than Gafford should play over Cornette. And a lot of it is scheme, and a lot of it is performance-based. But that is, tip of the iceberg of problems. But I think that just because we saw Gafford play well in preseason, and because we're seeing Cornette struggle in these regular season games, people are thinking, it's a no-brainer. Why isn't Jim changing this? Well, look, I'm not defending Jim Boylan. I'm just saying, clearly, he must have his reason for thinking that Cornette is more useful than Gafford at the moment. I don't know if and when that will change, but it's been pretty firm so far that that is what he believes. But as you pointed out, some of it may be aided with some new depth at the at the wing spot to not have to feel like he has to use Cornette, especially if Cornette's three-point shot isn't falling, which right now would be the only useful thing for him to be doing on the court. And that's why this upcoming decision about Hutchison and will he play and will he get into the rotation is so intriguing. We saw the Bulls activate him for the Sunday game against the Pacers, but Boylan told the media essentially it was never part of the plan to have him play. He just wanted to give Hutch the idea and the feeling of, being quote-unquote game ready. And in doing so, he made Denzel Valentine inactive. So what does that say about just how little Boylan finds Denzel Valentine to be useful that he's willing to make him inactive to put Hutch in warm-ups to also not play Hutch? So tonight might actually be the first real time we can see Hutchison be fully available, not just fake pretend available. And will that alter Boylan's rotation? Because we also saw him stick with that three-point guard lineup on Sunday against Indy that has gone so terribly so far this season.
It's fucking brutal. I can't watch that three-point guard lineup anymore. I'm sorry. You can't play a three-point guard lineup that involves Ryan Arcidiacono. It's nothing against Archie, but you just can't do it. You just can't do it. The dude can't get any rebounds, so you're really playing 4-on-5 on defense. Or when you're going to try to crash the boards, you're playing 4-on-5 at that point. What does that say, too, about Denzel Valentine, that he hasn't played in, a single game yet this season? And I don't know if that's because
he had garbage time minutes in, I think, their loss to Toronto.
Ooh, I must have missed that then. But again, no significant minutes at any point of any of these games. Which is bizarre because, as we talked throughout the summer, we thought he was coming back fully healthy and he'd at least get a shot to be a part of this rotation. But clearly what Boylan saw in training camp and in preseason has not thrilled him at all. And I think that says something about not only him, but what does Jim Boylan see in some of these other guys that he's using significant rotation minutes for, that he's not willing to shake things up at least a little bit. But I think if things continue to go the way that they are right now, one being that the Bulls can't score at all in certain stretches, and two is just having no real command on defense, I think it's going to force Jim Boylan to shake things up and if he wants to at least try to win these games. What blows my mind, though, is the Bulls have actually done some really good things, and they've stayed in games for the most part, outside of really Toronto is the only game that I said that they didn't really have a shot in the second half. But they've stayed in a lot of these games. And the one thing that I was curious about with, the lack of rebounding, blowing leads at the end of games, how many second chance points are the Bulls giving up currently through the first seven games? So I looked at this. The Bulls are actually doing a really good job of second chance points for themselves. They're fourth in the NBA right now at 105 second chance points, but they're giving up the fourth most second chance points to their opponents at 103. So thinking about that bothered me a lot, about not attacking the rim as much as they should. giving teams 2, 3, 4 shots at an offensive possession. And I think we've heard a couple players talk about this, Zach LaVine being one of them, where he said it's frustrating when we can't grab a rebound and we're giving teams multiple opportunities on the offensive side of the ball. We just can't do that. So that's something they continue to monitor if the Bulls' rebounding doesn't get better, is how many times and how many opportunities are the Bulls giving up for teams to score 2, 3, 4 times on an offensive possession. So,
And you also, I mean, with that, you have to think about the ripple effect of the lack of ability to get those rebounds once you get the stop completely crushes the transition offense that this team was hoping to have be a big part of their scoring this season. If you don't get the rebound, you can't get out in transition. If you're inbounding it from the baseline because you gave up second chance points, you give your opponent's defense the ability to set, instead of attacking them quickly with all of this speed and athleticism that the Bulls roster has. So that's a part, you know, the offense, you know, offensive problems create defensive problems. The Bulls, you know, have bad misses and then don't get back in transition defense, but it also goes the other way. When the Bulls don't get stops and the Bulls can't rebound, it kills their offensive, you know, their easy opportunity transition buckets.
This is a great point. I think I talked about that a little bit after the Detroit win, was the fact that at times when the Bulls were going on all those runs, and the Bulls did a really good job against Detroit going on offensive runs for stretches of 2, 3, 4 minutes at a time. I think there was twice or three times the Bulls went on like a 20-10 run and like a 15-4 run. But after those runs, the Bulls were giving it right back. Detroit went on a 16-4 run or a 20-9 run right after the Bulls had gone on a streak like that. So I was a little bit surprised, and I was like, is this the fact that the Bulls aren't getting out in transition as much in some of these runs, or are gassed on the defensive side when they have to give up a second opportunity or a third opportunity for their opponent to score? But I think that's a great point, is this Bulls team is built to run, and when the Bulls aren't getting rebounds and allowing their opponent to score at the way that they were, it doesn't give you even a chance to get any fast break points, any type of transition offense. And for the most part, too, I still think on top of all of that, all of these guys are still trying to figure out what spots to hit each other at, who's going to be out and running. Zach LaVine and Coby White playing alongside each other. Otto Porter and Zach LaVine seemed like they have a decent amount of chemistry. And at times it seems like Lauri Markkanen knows what he's doing in transition with the ball in his hands. But still, I think a culmination of all of that together has not been great for this Bulls team. But as far as moving forward, I think the Jim Boylan, as stubborn as he might be right now, he needs to take a good hard look at this team and say, you know what, I need to figure out what's going on here and maybe shake some things up. It can't hurt, because at this point we're watching a team that is pissing away leads, like Zach LaVine loved to say this weekend, and it's players underperforming completely. So I don't know what Jim Boylan's going to do, but I think we need a shakeup.
Well, yeah, and I mean, this is something that there is responsibility that falls on Jim and his players. The players are not playing as well as they should. And especially some of them offensively are, you know, ghosting. Otto Porter had that one good game against Detroit. He's been a disappointment in every game other than that one. Zach LaVine looked like, you know, a baller all-star against Memphis. Markkanen the same thing in their season opener against Charlotte. Other than that, they've been underwhelming. Coby White, after his breakout game against Memphis, has been terrible. I mean, the only consistent players that I've seen so far through the season are Thad Young and Wendell Carter Jr. So, yes, yeah, some of it's on the players, but also, like, Jim and his rotation and his in-game adjustments seem to be making little to no sense to me. Indiana, for a while, had Justin Holiday, our former pal, Justin freaking Holiday, playing a small ball four. And instead of having Markkanen attack that, he subs Markkanen out early. And that's even worse, you know, than the whole, like, all right, well, he's having Thad Young close games instead of Markkanen recently, because right now he trusts Thad more than he trusts Lowry. That's a problem for, like, long-term down the road. Oh, God, does that mean Lowry's ceiling is not what we hope it is? But in the meantime, just simple nightly, you know, like, coaching scenario, you have a Lowry versus Justin Holiday mismatch and you choose not to use it? And also Wendell Carter Jr., who is right now looking like your best player, is playing these weird, like mini, like spurts in the rotation, and he like, you know, he gets subbed out twice in each half as opposed to just playing a big stretch, which in my personal opinion is I think what he should be doing. Like, I know that Wendell's still kind of getting over this sore thumb and he's still, you know, wearing the brace and all that, but he had an off season that required some surgery. Maybe he still doesn't have his full legs under him. But come on, this kid's 20 years old. What are we doing limiting his minutes when he looks like the best player on the court? That's the stuff that I'm like, yes, the players are underperforming, but a lot of Jim's decisions about who's getting minutes when make no fucking sense to me.
I'm with you, especially on the marketing thing, too. That makes absolutely no sense to me. And again, we can talk about this in a second, but I want to hit on your point about Carter as well. Limiting his minutes makes absolutely no sense. And if it's because he worries about potentially injuring him or going into the second half of the season, you all of a sudden see a dead stretch of Carter where he's tired. I can understand that kind of being able to manage his minutes. But like you said, he's 20 years old, man. Dude wants to play. So stick him out there. And he's also one of your best players right now, like you had mentioned as well. But this growing weirdness with Boylan and how he's using Markkanen, I think is going to become a storyline throughout the rest of this season, because already early we've seen Markkanen be pulled out of 2 fourth quarters when realistically, if this team's going to be a playoff contender, if this team's trying to build around Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr., those three dudes have to learn how to close games together. I don't give a shit if you lose the game. If you lose, I don't care if you lose 10 of those in a row, where it comes down to the last 5 minutes and Markkanen and LaVine and Carter can't figure it out. I don't care, but we have at least have to see a decent chunk and a decent sample size to say, you know what, this is probably not working. And I get in the one game, Markkanen went out with an injury, but he came right back. So I did say on Saturday when I was talking about the Pistons win that I understand it. Maybe Boylan just didn't have full information on what Markkanen's injury was and just didn't want to risk it. Didn't want to risk the fact that, what if I stick him back out there and he ends up hurting himself even more? I'm going to be in the total shitter. Let's just go with Thad Young. He's playing well anyway. But to do it 2 games in a row, I wondered in that first game if this was Jim Boylan trying to send a message to Markkanen, and it's like, yo, step your game up or you're going to sit your ass on the bench and you're going to watch for the rest of the game. You know, giving him a little bit of tough love, which I don't think he's got a whole ton of since coming to the NBA.
Yeah, and I think, you know, some fans would argue that he gets a pass from the fan base too. You know, people harp on Zach, his poor defense, when maybe people don't harp on Lowry's poor defense as much. And guess what? Lowry's defense has been pretty bad so far. He and Zach both look passable in, you know, man situations, but off ball, they're both still making terrible mental mistakes. So, you know, maybe the tough love is necessary. The other thing that we haven't mentioned yet that is starting to, you know, make some people worried is that there's this rumor going around that Lowry's playing with a sore back. Otto may be, playing with that bit of a sprained ankle, that mildly sprained ankle that he got from a few games ago. Maybe that's part of the reason why Otto does not look like himself lately. And maybe part of the reason that Lowry has not been aggressive is that he is playing with a sore back. The sore back's affecting his shot. Maybe that's the reason why he hasn't been shooting well from behind the three-point line. Maybe it's also the reason that he's not aggressively attacking guys and using his body to get better looks in and around the basket.
I hope it's not he's playing with an injury. You know, and for a lot of people who want to criticize Markkanen, and they'll say, well, you guys are just giving him another excuse. But at some point, if you're healthy enough to be out on the floor, then there can't be any excuses. And this goes to Otto Porter too. You know, like, dude, if you're clearly hurting, there's no sense for you to be out and playing in the game. Get healthy and then come back. I would rather see you be at 100% and miss 2 games than be stuck out there and playing at 70%. You don't do the Bulls any good when you're out there playing at 60 or 70%. The Bulls aren't good enough collectively to have a guy go out there and play at 70%. Like that, it's just not going to work. And what I was talking about too on one of the solo shows was Otto Porter is the key for this offense and this team as a whole to move. This, it all centers around him, even though maybe he's not one of the main pieces, not Markkanen, he's not LaVine were going to be your two main scoring options, but it all starts and stops with Otto Porter. So if Otto's not fully healthy, I think you're right. I think it's that's been partially affecting him too. And I don't think he's fully healthy and recovered from that hip injury too. It just looks like the way he moves at times and the way that Jim Boylan's been limiting his minutes as well. I just think that there's something going on with him where he's not 100% healthy as well. So, which again, bothers me a whole hell of a lot considering that we're in what? We're going to play game 8 tonight and we already have four guys that aren't 100% healthy. Just concerning again.
This team, man. This team and their injuries. We were all like, oh my gosh, this team is actually healthy coming into training camp. And then we were like, oh, well, actually, no. You know, Wendell's still kind of nursing his way back. Denzel's not actually participating in 5-on-5 yet. And then Chandler Hutchinson has a hamstring, and it's like, you know, it's just more of the same, man. More of the same. It just has been frustrating this fan base for years now. Where
I thought it was a real positive.
You feel like you're finally going to get a healthy roster, and then for whatever reason, and again, all of it right now is guys that are playing, with the exception of Hutch, and then you know Boylan, whether it's his play or his health, not thinking Valentine is worth, you know, making even active at this point. Other than that, all of the most important pieces of this roster, primarily Wendell, Lowry, Zach, and Otto, are healthy. So maybe there are some nagging injuries or something, but like you said, man, and I agree, if you're healthy enough to be out there and playing, you got to play better than this.
Right. If you're injured, then sit out. I don't care. Give somebody else an opportunity. But I don't want to see somebody out there playing at 60% because it does the Bulls absolutely no good. And at times it hurts them. You know, you force other guys in that lineup to have to do things to an extreme, which may cause an injury or just ends up hurting the Bulls. For example, like if Markkanen's dealing with a back injury, it probably prevents him from playing a whole hell of a lot of defense. It probably prevents him from being aggressive on the boards. Who do you think that affects the most? It affects Carter. It affects Wendell Carter Jr. Then he's got to take the brunt of the rebounding. The physicality kind of goes away because he's got to monitor his fouls as well. Like all of that plays a factor when a guy's not playing fully healthy, and clearly you can see there's something wrong. So, and that goes to Otto Porter too. Like if he's not fully healthy either, then what are we doing? Let him sit out a couple of games. It's not going to be the absolute end of the world. I mean, it can't be any worse than we're already doing right now. What he's doing right now isn't delivering wins. So get him 100% healthy and then bring him back. But, you know, outside of the defense, outside of the injuries, I think it all starts and stops, too, with the offense. Nobody can fucking score on this team. What I don't understand, and again, it could go back to Jim Boylan's bizarre play calling and bizarre rotations, but nobody on this team, night in and night out, can consistently score. And the Bulls bench is getting their ass whooped night in and night out. You know, the game against Detroit, they were lucky that they won. They were absolutely lucky that they won. Detroit, their bench outscored them by 20. And the Bulls nearly lost that game. So you're getting no scoring on the bench. You're getting inconsistent numbers from your starters. So where's your offense coming from? You know, as much as I want to give Zach LaVine credit for being the only guy that's kind of willed his way so far this season to some points, he's still taking the same dumbass shots he was taking last year and the year before that. You know, forcing himself into a mid-range shot with two or three defenders in his face, taking really difficult three-pointers. You know, all of this to me is like, where was the improvement in February when you were actually taking mindful shots and moving the ball? And I think that's been one of the biggest problems with this Bulls team is the inconsistency of moving when you don't have the ball in your hands, and also for guys, too, that have the ball in their hands, not looking for open shooters. A culmination of all that together, just there is no scoring on this team, and that bothers me, and it exposes a lot of the defensive problems the Bulls already had to deal with.
Well, yeah, and you know that goes back a little bit to the fact that the defensive struggles and their struggles on the boards have contributed to their offensive struggles, and I really agreed and admired what Tomas Satoransky said at their practice on Monday, because to me it made a hell of a lot of sense, and it reaffirmed my opinion that for all those Sato haters out there on Bulls Twitter who are like, oh, Coby White should start, Satoransky's terrible. Satoransky is one of the smartest, if not the smartest, like basketball IQ players on this roster, and it's not close. Here's what he had to say at practice. Quote, Offensively, we're missing our pace from the preseason, and I think sometimes we're not taking open shots, and instead we're taking the tough ones, and I think that has to change. Those are the details we're working on every day, but I think our pace has to be different and better. I think we're sometimes missing our chances to attack the basket, and then we're attacking when it's too late and the defense is already in the paint. We have to be smarter in those actions. That's Tomas Satoransky, and that to me just explains so much of what's going on. The Bulls were able to get out and transition and run and get good open looks in the preseason. You know why? Because teams aren't attacking the offensive glass in a preseason game when nobody gives a damn about the outcome. The Bulls' defensive rebounding was easy because no one was challenging them because it's the preseason. Then your opponent's energy level and effort ramps up in the games that actually fucking matter, and your offensive transition struggles because you can't get a damn rebound. And his comments were not necessarily an immediate finger point at Zach LaVine, but some of that stuff about, you know, taking bad shots instead of open shots. And I mean, how many times have we seen the Bulls kick out of an open look in the paint to to take a 3-point shot that is missed already this season? I feel like I've seen it a dozen freaking times. And it's like they're overthinking this, you know, this idea that they need to be a better 3-point shooting team than they were last year. They need to take more threes. They need to make more threes. But you know what also works? Making shots that are open when you got the ball in the paint. None of that makes any fucking sense to me, and it doesn't make any sense to Satoransky either, and I'm glad he said that, because it seems obvious as shit, and they're still somehow just baffled by how they're struggling offensively.
It is. It's bizarre, the fact that, too, you know, and we can get into the three-point shooting, too, but the fact that none of these guys feel... And maybe maybe this all goes back to the fact that they're still learning how to play with each other. But still, like, it seems like at times a lot of these guys are forcing feeling that they have to do it themselves. Like, especially late in games, you know, Zach LaVine comes down, he feels like he's got to do it himself. You know, shit, they scored a bucket and we're only up two. I got to do this myself. I got to go down and I'm going to play one-on-one isolation. Or it's Otto Porter doing the same thing, or whoever else has the ball in their hands. At times, I feel like the Bulls, especially late in games, force shots, make stupid turnovers, and it feels like they don't play collectively together in a lot of these stretches of the games. And then when they do, they go on runs. They go on a 20-10 run. And you're like, that's the way this Bulls team should play. And then they give it right back. So the 3-point shooting is concerning, though. I mean, Lauri Markkanen on 6.3 attempts this season is shooting 25% from three. Wendell Carter Jr. is shooting 16% on nearly an attempt a game. Your two best 3-point shooters right now on this team are Zach LaVine at 39.6% and Thaddeus Young at 36.7%.
Yeah, it's been a pleasant surprise. And, you know, when you were saying earlier, there's no scoring coming from the bench. At least Thad Young has been solid.
Agreed.
And surprisingly, a much better 3-point shooter than we've seen him be at any point in his long storied NBA career.
You know, and I applaud him too, because he takes the correct shot. He won't force a three, but when he's open in a corner and he's wide open, he takes it and he knocks it down. And that's something that you had mentioned too, is the Bulls are forcing a lot of threes when they're clearly not open. So a combination of all that together is just annoying. And, you know, it's disappointing that it seems like Kobe White's come back down to earth a little bit. He's averaging 10.4 points per game. He's only shooting 35.9% from the field, and he's shooting a miserable 26.5% from three. So expected some bumps in the road here.
But yeah, he should be our starter, right? Jeez. I swear, man, Bulls fans.
You know, just because we saw good things in the preseason and he was the second highest or third highest points per game in the preseason doesn't mean jack shit. And hopefully people understand that now. But
the Memphis game.
And, you know, we can't expect Kobe White to be this 20 points per game scorer right now as a rookie 8 games into his career. So I think, again, you don't have anybody that is a legit knockdown scorer on that bench. It puts a lot of pressure on the starters to to feel like they need to score all the time. So I think there's just a lot of little issues that the Bulls continuously need to figure out, and they need to figure it out quickly. But the surprising thing is all the knocks and the negatives that we've talked about, the Bulls have been in pretty much every game going into the fourth quarter besides the Toronto game. So if they can fix one to two of these issues, I think the Bulls will have some outcomes that'll turn into wins as opposed to losses. But if it continues down this road, man, I tweeted out their schedule for the next 15 games. And honestly, I see the Bulls on December 1st being 6-14.
Yeah. And I mean, look, and it's something that Boylan said recently, too. He's like, you know, hey, we make one shot here or we get one stop there, and our record could be very different. And he's not necessarily wrong about that, because as you've been saying, you know, a lot of these games have gone down to the wire. And they blew leads against Charlotte and against New York and against Cleveland. You know, they were flat in Indy, never really looked to have control of that game. But that's certainly three games that they could have won, probably should have won, and didn't. But at the same time, look at that strength of schedule. So I'm not taking a whole lot of moral victory, you know, weight in the fact that, well, at least they've been in all of these games. Well, they fucking should have been. They fucking should have been in games against Charlotte and New York and Cleveland. And it's the schedule upcoming where you start to really get concerned, because then you're not talking about, all right, well, if you make one more shot or get one more stop, things are different. Things can be different, and we get a win instead of a loss. Now, there's no margin for error at all, and they're going to have to play to the height of their capabilities to stay in
games. It's embarrassing. You give up you let Charlotte break a franchise record for three-pointers made on opening night. You let Bobby Portis torch you. You let Cleveland embarrass you. It's got to change. It's got to change. And, you know, the answer is Jim.
Are we about to get the Jabari Parker revenge game tomorrow against Atlanta?
Play defense.
Oh, my God. I continuously forget that he's in Atlanta. But to me,
nearly had the Tony Snell revenge game. Tony Snell had the bucket for Detroit to put them up by one, man, late in the fourth quarter.
You know, that's the funny thing, too. The last thing, and then we'll get out of here. We were just talking about glass half full of the Bulls could have a lot better record if one or two possessions in each of those games went a different way. But turn it on its head. You know, the Bulls could be winless right now. Realistically, Coby White doesn't go off in Memphis.
Yep.
They lose that game easy. If the last 5 minutes of that Detroit game go Detroit's way and they don't do stupid things and don't miss open shots, the Bulls lose that game too. Derrick Rose steps out of bounds. Derrick Rose misses a wide open layup. Tony Snell misses a wide open corner three. Mm-hmm. They make stupid fouls. Derrick Rose fouls and thinks that they have an extra foul, but they don't. And then they send Satoransky to the line. All of that together in that last 5 minutes, Detroit doesn't make two of those mistakes, they probably win that game. So the Bulls could be right now 0-7, realistically. So I don't know. I just, you know, listening to Boylan's comments too at practice and after each one of these games, it doesn't inject a whole lot of confidence that he really has the solutions to all of these little problems that he's seeing popping up here in the first 10 games or so.
Yeah, like a very good point. And that's why I don't take a whole lot of comfort in the fact that they, you know, according to Boylan, they could have a much different record if they just make a couple of different plays here and there, because as you astutely pointed out, you could make the exact same argument the other way. So, oh man, I guess we'll see what happens against the Lakers tonight, but I am preparing for the worst.
You're not particularly looking forward to tonight's game. But it will be kind of cool. If you do have tickets and you're going out to this game, that's kind of cool. You get to see LeBron, you get to see AD together at the United Center. So that should be a good experience for NBA fans as a whole. If you're not going out to the game and you're free tonight, go out to the game, because this is a good one. You know, normally, especially last year when the Bulls hosted the Lakers, it was back at the end of March when nothing really mattered and guys weren't fully healthy. Guys were kind of worn out. But we did see LeBron put on a show at the United Center last year. So, yeah, if you have some free time tonight, go out to the United Center and watch the Bulls get their head bashed in by two of the top five players in the league, I guess. But that's going to about do it here.
How many signs, you know, out in that United Center crowd are going to say, come home,
oh
AD,
my God,
tonight?
And that's, I'm glad we didn't even talk about that, because I'm not even giving that any credence either. But
hell no. Hell no.
That's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thank you guys for listening to today's episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line. You have any thoughts about the first seven games, anything that we talked about today, you can hit us up there. Text and voicemails 331-979-1369. Want to thank our sponsor for today's show, and that is Manscaped. Manscaped is the number one men's below the belt grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Locked On at manscaped.com. Again, hit us up, text and voicemail line on Twitter as well, at Locked On Bulls. For my partner Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Have a wonderful day, Bulls Nation. Enjoy Lakers and Bulls tonight. I know it's probably not going to be the outcome we're looking for, but regardless, enjoy the game tonight, and we will talk to you tomorrow. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, we are out of here. Deuces.
Winning is the lone priority here in the last 6 minutes of games. It's not get Lowry reps just because he's still young.
Well, that may be the development piece.
Him learning from the bench.
Exactly.
What do you think he learns from there?
Well, maybe next time you play a little differently. Whoever it is, it doesn't have to be Lowry. Yeah, why is there a big deal made about Lowry?
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com